Okay. We were up to Se'if Vav, I believe. Se'if Vav. Lo yishan ima b'mita afilo kalecha b'vigdo v'ein nogen zevazeh. This is the main, one of the main, probably the biggest sugya of Harchokos. In Shas, Shabbos Daf Yud Gimel, where the Mishnah talks about not eating together, and the Gemara has a long shakuntari about not sleeping together, and they have a question, and the maskana is that very, very clearly it's usher to sleep in the same bed, even if they are wearing pajamas. It's still usher in all circumstances to sleep in the same bed. And says the Ramava filu yishkol echad matzah bifnei atzmo, even if each one has their own linens, it's still one bed. But filin shochvin shtei mitos, which means nogu zuzu aser. Even if they're two different beds, if the beds are touching, it's aser. Okay, this should all be fairly pasha to us. That we're all used to the idea that you can't sleep in the same bed, you can't even sleep in two beds if the beds are touching. How far apart do the beds have to be? So in the Pesukei Teshuvah here, Sifkat Yud Aleph. Quotes from the Sefer Mekor Chayim, who goes in, which side are they touching on? Are they touching this side, that side, the mice? So we assume it's all usher. He says the kol shehu is enough. That as long as they're separate, a kol shehu, that's good enough. However, the later poskim say that our minhag is that bishas adchak, the dievet, a kol shehu is enough. If you're someplace where there's only room in the beds to in the room to separate the beds a little, that's enough. But l'chatchila, you should separate them, let's say, at least 8 inches. Some people say a foot, 20 to 30 centimeters, so that you don't accidentally touch and so that the blankets don't touch and make it seem like one bed. So l'chatchila, usually you have space, you should separate them more, so they really seem separate. But b'shas adchak, it's enough to separate them even a kol shehu. Let's say 8 inches.
8 inches.
No, kol shehu is a kol shehu. Is, I don't know, kol shehu is 1 inch or half an inch or whatever. Kol shehu is a kol shehu. The shach discussed in Sifkat Yud Aleph, what if there are two mattresses on one platform? He talks about eight. Yeah. He talks about eight obinion. Right, you have this like big built platform of concrete or wood, and on top of it are two mattresses. So he says, if the two mattresses, I mean, he means if the two mattresses are separate, that's okay. It's not considered one bed just because the two mattresses are on the same platform. As long as the mattresses are separate, that is considered two different beds. Yesh, one second, yesh l'stapik. Exactly what's included in this heter of the shach. Like, for example, sometimes they have not something that's built, like he makes it seem like it's part of the building. No, something that's just like a regular metal bed frame that holds two twin mattresses. It could also, I think, hold a king-size mattress. I believe a king-size mattress is the size of two twin mattresses. So it holds a king-size mattress, that's one bed. What if there's one frame that holds two twin-size mattresses, and you separate the mattresses? 8 inches. So is that b'chlal the heter of the shach, because it's two separate beds on one platform? Or no, here it's like one bed. It's not something that seems like part of a building. It's something that seems like part of the bed. So not 100% clear. I've seen beds like that. They have these nice fancy metal beds that hold two mattresses. You could separate the mattresses. No, I guess they'll hang a few inches off the edge of the bed, but that's not a big deal. But it's still like... So on the one hand, the two mattresses are separate. On the other hand, they're one frame. Halacha l'maisa, it seems that that's not l'chatchila. L'chatchila, l'chor, what the shach is referring to is something that seems more like part of the building. And then you have two mattresses, and suddenly it seems like part of the building. It doesn't seem like one bed. However, b'shas adchak, let's say, someone puts you up as a guest in a room where there's a double bed, one frame with two mattresses. If we one frame with one mattress, then you'd be stuck. The husband would have to sleep on the floor. Okay? Why does the husband have to sleep on the floor and not the wife have to sleep on the floor? If you don't understand that on your own, then you have bigger problems. But what if it's one bed with two mattresses? Then, certainly, b'shas adchak, You can assume that this is b'chol, the heter of the shach, and push the mattresses 8 inches apart, and then sleep there.
A bunk bed would fall
into
the shach?
What about a bunk bed? Interesting question. Would a bunk bed fall into the heter of the shach? It really does seem very separate. I haven't seen this discussed in the poskim. It probably is discussed in some modern day svarim. Anyone ever seen modern day poskim discuss it? It would, yeah?
No,
okay. It would seem to me that, it would be, yeah, definitely motu b'shas ad chak. The question is, is it l'chachila? Like you have the choice, sleep on the bottom and top bunk bed. And say it really is very, very separate. One is on top of the other. Well, it seems to me to be called the heter the shach legamre. That what do you mean? That's like two separate beds. That doesn't seem like one bed. That's what it would seem to me. It seems to me that that's better than sitting on a couch together. You know, I don't know. It's closest to sit on a couch together to sleep on the top and bottom bunk. I know, that's what I said, but it might still be better then, because the feeling movement on the couch is people are sitting together, relating to each other.
You can feel movement upstairs.
What?
Some houses you can feel movement.
Yeah, I'm saying, and let's say you're walking on a rickety bridge together, so that's not us, sir, because even though you feel each other's movement, but you're not hanging out together. It's only when you're sitting and hanging out together that it's a problem. So over here, I don't know, doesn't it feel like when you're in the top bunk bed and someone's on the bottom bunk bed that you're in different planets? Yeah, so it seemed to me that would be mutter. It would be a little weird, like, you know, your wife would probably rather sleep on the bed like 3 feet away from you than on top and bottom bunk beds, just in terms of not feeling like a different planet. But that's your business. The buildings were all made of eights, but I'm saying eights seems like perhaps he means a more solid construction, like. Eights is a little tricky. You build furniture of wood, you build buildings of wood. So it's sort of in between there. So that's why I'm a little misophic, I would say. I would certainly feel comfortable saying that something that looks like a regular bed that's supposed to be together, that you just separate the mattress a little, is definitely not l'chachila. I wouldn't rely on that, the shach, including that l'chachila. But, you know, when you need to, you can. Didn't you have your hand up a long time ago? You can pass.
What? The first question was answered, but in the Ukraine trip, we slept on bunk beds once, and I was on top, and I felt very disconnected from the person below me. And you have to get off and go all the way down
just to touch
the other person. So
very good. Very disconnected. Separated. Exactly.
What's the reason for one frame, two sort of beds being like problematic? Like, what's the Hagdara of this din?
It's a good question, because the horror the Isra of sleeping on bed is because you'll come into contact with one another. And over here, there's a hefsek between you. But it could be because it feels like sleeping in one bed. And when it feels like sleeping in one bed, it could still be that it'll, you know, it's something that could lead to the wrong kind of contact. So, I'm a suffix, yeah. As opposed to a bunk bed, which clearly doesn't feel like sleeping in one bed.
The shock would take the chakil if it's bolted to the ground, so then there's no issue, then two separate mattresses.
I think so. Again, the mattresses have to be separated. They can't be touching each other.
So then, as soon as the bed is a bed frame, it's not attached to the ground, so then...
Then I'm a suffix. You know, I'm a suffix. And therefore, we make all the shasatzor. Whether it feels more like one bed. And also, the shach was probably talking about a case where it didn't... The shach was probably talking about a case where it wasn't intended to be, like, next to each other in one bed. Like, things that are, like, intended to be used to sleep, like, together feel like you're on one bed, I think, are more chamrad. I don't link them out to shasatzor. I don't know. I'm just imagining one scenario. But I think that's another difference. Like, the shach was like, it wasn't supposed to be for people sleeping together. The way the shach's envisioning it here, we're talking about sleeping, which is supposed to be for married couples to sleep together. So, anyway, I would not be making a l'chachila. There's some discussion also. What about if there's one headboard attaching the beds, even if they're separate? Some people are machmir, but I don't think it's so necessary. I think that's about it for sleeping the same bed. What to do if someone's stuck? You go away for Shabbos and someone's not so learned and doesn't know all about Orthodox Judaism and they put you in one bed. So again, if it's a big bed frame with two separate mattresses, then I said push the mattresses apart and then consider it like two beds and assume you can make a look the shach applies here. What if they put you in mamish one bed with one mattress? Zehu, nothing to do about it. Then the husband should sleep on the floor. So some people want to say you could build a machitza in the middle of the bed. So I'm asking if it really, you know, looks like a proper machitza. But I'm not so convinced by the idea of, like, you know, putting a few pillows in between and calling that a machitza. Like, if your mom just put a wall in the middle of the bed, then in a chanami. I think you can be makel like that. But just to, like, put something in the middle of the bed, I'm not convinced that that's such a good heter.
But a sword work or something like that?
I understand. I'm a Talmud of Rabbi Willig, and it's best not to keep swords in your bed, regardless. Chamir sakanta meisor. Okay. And if you, like, take a bookcase and put it in the middle of the bed, then that would be a reasonable kula. But I don't know how practical that is. I'd be more practical to sleep on the floor. Some people say, anyway, it's good for your back. Zion. Lo yistakel afilu ba'akevav lo mkomo samachushvai. You can't, a husband, when the wife's near, can't even look at her ankle or at any covered parts of her body. But he's allowed to look at the uncovered parts of her body, that meaning the normally uncovered parts of her body, even though he's nana b'riyasa, even though we know that to look at a strange woman, even if she's dressed, that you're only looking at the, you know, her, you're only looking at her face or, you know, her hands or whatever. In order to derive pleasure from looking at her beauty is considered a very, very, very bad thing. However, this is one case where we don't say everything that's asubar, otherwise asubar ishtomita, the word does have a hekish. Just like I can't sleep with astama rayas in the same bed, right? I can't sleep with my wife who's anita in the same bed, but that doesn't apply to everything. I can't look at someone else's wife, even if she's dressed. But you can look at your own wife when she is a nida. We're not worried about that. Why are we not worried about the chor? It's like yichud. Just because you see her, you have enough patience, self control, because it's pasva salo, that we're not afraid it will be inappropriate or it will lead to something.
This is normally uncovered.
Give me a second. Okay, so that's before we get to that, I just want to go to the Gemara. The Gemara, it's a funny Gemara. The Gemara has two stages. You notice the ankle here is a funny thing. Why ankle? Like, what's so exciting about looking at not ankle. It's not an ankle. It is a heel, right? What's so exciting about the heel? I'm not an expert in beauty, but I didn't think that, like, the normal temptation people had was to see the heels of women, and that was considered like the most alluring part of the woman's body. So what's special about the akif here? So here it is not so clear. The Gemara says something about the akif, and Rav Yosef and Reish Lakish, if I'm not mistaken, comment on this. What does it mean by the akif? Because clearly everyone understood it couldn't be a special rule about heels. So the Gemara says, Hamastakel, bad things happen to your kids if you look at the akev of a woman. Rav Yosef said some ishto nida, and then Reish Lakish says the akev means makom ha'torah, means the genitals. Why is the genitals euphemistically called the heel? Because the heel, when you sit cross-legged, is next to the genitals, and therefore it's really a euphemism. So here we have, I said Rav Yosef and Reish Lakish, I hope. Yeah. So here we have the Isser of Histaklus, the Akev, Rabbi Yosef said it's referring to Ishtonida. And then Reish Lakish says that it's referring to the Makom HaTorpa, the genitals. So, how do we get from there to the Mechaber? Who is not the Mechaber, who says referring to all Makomos Mechusim. Didn't the Gemara say it's only referring to the generals, not to all Makomos Mechusim? So here we have three deos, although I prefer one of them. Says the Beis Yosef.
Wait, Yosef saying that it's referring to your wife.
When she's a Nida.
Her ankle.
He doesn't say, he just says Ishto Nida. He says which woman, and Reish Lakish says which body part. It sounds like it's only usher to look at the genitals of your wife when she's a nida, not at all covered parts of the body. That's what it sounds like. However, that's clearly not what we paskin. The Rashba says that we extrapolate from Ekev to all Makomos Lechusin. So here's the problem. The real problem is how to defend the Rashba. Right? If we just had the Gemara, what would we say? Rav Yossi says, referring to looking at your wife and she's a Nida. And Rish Lakish says, nah, you can look at your wife and she's a Nida, just not the generals. But that's not what it says in Shulchan Aruch, what the Rashba says, right? The Rashba says, right? The Rashba says that Ekev equals an example of Mekomos Mechusim. I should have started with that. Now we have a problem. The Rashba says Ekev Wadavka, there's nothing special with the Ekev. It's just an example of a covered part of the body. In those days, they used to cover their heels. Okay, could be. But then why does he say only the Mekomos Torfa? Should have been all Mekomos Mechusim. Right? So now the problem is, the question is, that it's against Reish Lakish. How can the Rashba interpret the Gemara against Reish Lakish? Right? The Rashba says Ekev means only Mekomos Mechusim. Reish Lakish says it means only genitals. So there are three answers to this. One is the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef says that when Reish Lakish says Makom HaTorif, I think he used the phrase Torif, not to Kenegan, Makom HaTorif, he means Makom Mechusa, right? Technically, makes no difference. These are interchangeable in Shas. He says Makom HaTorif. Beis Yosef says Makom HaTorif means Mekomos Mechusin. Okay. Maybe Makom HaTorif means Mekomos Mechusin. I find that a little dachuk. Really? Makom HaTorif, and then he explains, because the Ekev is Keneged, is parallel to the Makom HaTorif. And why didn't he just say Mekomos Mechusin? Why is he bringing in the genitals? He means all Mekomos Mechusin. All the Achronim found Beis Yosef dachuk. The Gra here used a sledgehammer to solve this problem. The Gra right here on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch. Of course, when we're talking about answering kashas from Gemara, and you say sledgehammer, what do you mean? Change the girsa, right? That's the sledgehammer, no, Isaac?
Yes, sir.
Says the Gra, I'm a Torah Sabayis, well, Heiser Gersasra Shamar Marish Lakish, Kiva, etc. He didn't have the girsa Marish Lakish, right? Lo Garas, Mimra. Duresh Lakish. Okay, that solves the problem. He had no gears of Resh Lakish, only had the heel, so he said, there's nothing special about the heel, it's all Mekomos Mechusin. That's also a little dachuk, because, I can't just say, erase the gears, stop. So, I thought that the right shot was what the Torah HaShlomim says here. I thought the right shot was the Torah HaShlomim. Says the Torah HaShlomim, he says, Reish Lakish and Reb Yosef were not working together. Reish Lakish and Reb Yosef were arguing. He says, there is a machlokes between Reb Yosef and Reish Lakish. Reb Yosef says that it's Mayri b'ishtonida. All he said is ishtonida. If it's ishtonida, then obviously it means all Mekomos Mechusim. What do you mean? You should look at 99.9% of the body of Ishtonida? That doesn't make sense. Right? The Ishtonida, the Imkain, Mayri, Bimkomos Mechusim. Because that makes sense. For Ishtonida, you shouldn't look at Mekomos Mechusim. That's logical. And Reish Lakish argues. Reish Lakish says it's not talking about Ishtonida. It's talking about Ishto Tahora. Talking about your wife when she's not a Nida. If it's talking about your wife when she's not a Nida, then it can't mean you're not allowed to look at Mekomos Mechusim. That's ridiculous. It must mean only Makom HaTorif, which you know from other places in Shas, that there's a Shita that you're not allowed to look at, but Ishto Tahora. Right? V'lachain Mayri Rak B'Makom HaTorif. That's what the Torah HaShlomim says. He understands the Rashi says Machlokes. Reb Yosef thinks he's talking about Ishtonida, and he's not like Reish Lakish. It's all Mekomos Mechusim, because there's nothing special about heels. And Reish Lakish says, nah, it's only Ishto Tahora. In which case, it can't be all Mekomos Mechusim, it must be only the Makom HaTorif. And we paskin like both of them. We're machmir like both sides. By Ishtonida, we're machmir like Reb Yosef, all Mekomos Mechusim, having nothing to do with Makom HaTorif. And by Ishta Tahora, we're not more like Reish Lakish. It could very well be that there's no argument. Meaning, maybe they both agree to each other's din. They just argue what this Maimra meant. But they might both agree the din, right? Reb Yosef could also be that by Ishta Tahora, you shouldn't look at Makamat Torah. He just doesn't think that's what this line was talking about. And Reish Lakish could also think by Ishta Mida, you shouldn't look at Makamos L'chusik. He just doesn't think that's what this line was talking about. And we paskin like both, and maybe they both paskin like both. Again, they're not both the interpretation of the previous line of the Gemara, but they might both be true. I think that's the best shot to defend the Rashba. In any case, however we defend the Rashba, we paskin like the Rashba, that it's referring to Ishta Mida, and whichever answer you give, it means you can't look at any Mekomos Mechusin. Okay, that's the Gemara background, not yet the Halacha Lemaisa. The question is, now what is Mekomos Mechusin? So, here there's a Machlok, yes, but Rav Moshe Paskins in the Igros Moshe, oh, put our Mekomos up here, Chelik Beis, Simon Ayin Hay, Rav Moshe Paskins, that it doesn't mean Mekomos Mechusin in the street, means Mekomos HaMechusin at home. Therefore, if she does it, basically, what does it mean? If the husband now looks at Mekomos HaMechusin, then, by common sense, she has to dress and cover her Mekomos HaMechusin. Otherwise, her husband's going to see them. Right? So it doesn't mean she has to dress like she dresses when she is going out on the street, where she might have a very, hopefully have a very high standard of sneakers. Rather, it means Mekomos HaMechusin in a casual family setting. What does that mean? That means how you dress when you're home with your family. After all, she used to be single, and she would live with her father or with her brothers or whatever family members are there who were men. How does she dress around them? Right? Maybe not the exact same way as the street, but certainly not provocatively. When she has kids, you know, how would she dress around her kids? Not necessarily the same standard of sneakers when she goes to the street, but obviously not in a provocative or revealing fashion. That would be very inappropriate. So it's like a casual sneas. That's what Moshe writes. Now, what does that mean practically halacha lemaisa? That very, very much depends on your minhag hamakom. Obviously, there are some places where, in a chanami from home, in a casual family setting, I'm going to dress like a basic yakov girl on the street, because that's what they do in my community. There are other places where they're like, I'll wear skirts when I go out in the street, but I'll wear shorts at home. Ah, you don't walk around in your underwear at home, but you might wear shorts at home. And I'll wear a t-shirt, a short-sleeve t-shirt at home, even though I'll wear a long-sleeve shirt when I go in the street, etc. Or maybe I'll cover my hair when I go out in the street, but I won't cover my hair when I'm home. Okay, everyone has their different normal standards of how they dress at home. But, says Rav Moshe, that Mekomos HaMechusin depend on Mechusin in a casual family context, not Mechusin in a public context. And therefore, it's okay for the husband to see his wife in a regular casual way of dressing in front of family members, which might be pajamas, which might be shorts, which might be t-shirts, which might be her hair uncovered, depending on what her normal minhag is. Just not in a way that would be inappropriate, you know, in a home setting.
Should it also be subject to change based on where they are in life? Like, maybe when the kids are younger, she dresses around the house a certain way. When they get a little older or not, when the kids are out of the house as opposed to when they're living in the house, or?
Could be. You have to use your common sense. I don't mean if she, like, dresses inappropriately because there's no one in the house. It could very well be.
Okay, but Lamaisa, I think in our communities it's common that a lot of women, they
don't dress in a way that is, inappropriate. But they don't dress, they dress at home like what would be considered sneas dress for, a lot of people in the street nowadays. They dress at home very, very modestly by standards of a lot of people in the street. So even when they're needed, they can dress that way. Their husband might see their elbows. Okay, that's okay. That's not included in Mekomos HaMechusin.
The assumption being that back in the day, when they were at home, they always had their heels covered?
The assumption being, at least at the time, the statement was made in the time of the Gemara, in that town, they used to always cover their heels. I don't know what
have to go do the research. I don't know, in ancient or classical Iraq, you know, what do women wear on their feet? I have no idea. But that would be the assumption, correct. Okay. One other thing that comes up is, what about Kol Isha? Right? So that seems to be a little similar to this. What about Kol Isha? So that is discussed by the Pesach Chuvin, Sivkat and Yud. Tzarech Iyoni Motel Shua Kol Zemer Shalah. He's not sure. It starts with the word Tzarech Iyon, Sivkat and Yud, and ends with the word Vitzarech Iyon. He's not sure. Rav Moshe also discusses this. I think it's in the same siman or the next siman. And he also says he's Masopik. He's not sure. Rav Avadya writes that it's Pashat Mutter. Why? Because he used the same principle that we use for clothing. After all, she wouldn't sing in front of the crowds in the street, but she would sing at home in front of her immediate family. You know, that's like casual tznius is to sing. And therefore, Willick says, okay, that we can paskin like a vaday is motzi b'dei safek, that you can be mako, that she can sing at home, and that's considered like the standard of casual tznius. That's not street tznius, but that's home family tznius to sing, meaning it's not, you know, particularly provocative, and therefore that would be okay. Again, all these things might have side technical problems, which is, you know, if the husband wants the bench, then there's a problem of kol b'isha when darsha b'kedusha, right? If his wife's singing, or if his wife's not dressed properly and she's in front of him, then it might be a problem of darsha b'kedusha. But stop to walk around the house, we would be makel about these things.
It's a problem with singing if she's in nida.
No, whether she's in nida or not. I mean, there are certain things, regardless of whether she's in nida. No, we were makel on her singing when she's in nida. But whether she's in nida or tahora, you know, he can't make a bracha while she's singing. And he can't make a bracha while she's, you know, standing in front of him in shorts. So one would have to, you know, just deal with those technical aspects. But so that has nothing to do with being in Nida. That's 30 days a month. But out Nida, we're making on singing, and we're making on dressing casual tznius.
Is that only in a village, or is that the
No, that's many poskim nowadays, but many poskim not that way. So that's very willing. It's not like a Shiva's Yachimer. It's very willing in others, but it's not universal.
So, you know what Neuberger said about this? He said that in the beginning of a relationship, your sensitivity towards a woman singing might be much stronger, and therefore it would be not as appropriate to hear your wife sing. And then he said as the relationship goes on, when you're not as sensitive, let's say, to
I don't know. I'm not as convinced. But I think someone growing up in the modern world... I think someone body burning in the modern world does not have a lot of sensitivity towards women singing. Wherever we go in the street, there's always someone playing women singing all over the place.
You can do away with Kolisha in general.
Okay, speak for yourself. Speak for yourself. You can bring that up with the Masorah on your own time. But that's not what I said. My turn. Okay, Ches. Roy Lashed Yachid La Begadin Meini. Oh, here. So where Willig says here is like the clothing, it's like casual tznius. So in places where a woman never uncovers her hair ever, her whole life, etc., then you shouldn't uncover your hair in front of your husband when you're nida. And I bet that in many of our circles, the woman uncovers her hair in front of her immediate family and would hang out at home with her kids or, you know, with her parents with her hair uncovered. So then she can also uncover her hair when she is in nida. I bet that would be a common mitzvah.
Same thing with benching Darush Bekdusha.
But you would still have a problem benching Darush Bekdusha, etc. Correct. There are those who are mocking even on her benching, not on Sneas, but maybe once she's married, she needs a yarmulke, as it were. She needs a mitpachat in order to say brachos and bench. I think the common minhag is not to be machmer on that. At least for Ashkenazim. I think the common minhag among Ashkenazim would be married women. You know, say the bracha, like for example, the mikvah, say the bracha with the hair uncovered, and when there's some, let's say they're themselves in the house or whatever, they say the bracha with the hair uncovered. Some people are machmer. I think the most common meaning among Ashkenazim is to be mekel, that a woman's allowed to say a bracha with her hair uncovered even after she's married. I think that's the common Ashkenazic minhag.
And you can't bench in front of someone whose hair is uncovered?
Yeah, a man can't bench.
A man can't bench it. Okay, so we know there's an Aruch HaShulchan about this, etc. We know there's a Rav Moshe about this. Okay, we're not getting into the debate. There's an Aruch HaShulchan, and there's a Rav Moshe who quotes this, that in places where the women all have their hair uncovered, you're allowed to bench in front of a woman with hair uncovered. Because even though it's not right at first, it's, that's normal, so it's not considered a distraction for benching. It could be that we live in a lot of places nowadays that are more from than the Aruch HaShulchan's place than our Moshe's places. Keep in mind, Moshe wrote his tshuva. No Orthodox women in America covered their hair. Like 1%. When the Aruch HaShulchan was writing in Lithuania, 1% of firm women covered their hair. Nowadays, all the firm women, nowadays, I don't know, in the Gross Kollel, all the firm women covered their hair. In Bayit Gan, most of the women covered their hair. In Alon Shvat, most of the women cover their hair. There are always exceptions here and there, but the rove. So it could be that the Heter the Aruch HaShulchan Moshe might not apply nowadays in a lot of places where we live. So I don't know, Yesh La'ayin, but we're not going to, we'll leave that as a Tzarech Iyun for now. We'll leave that as a Tzarech Iyun for now. I think certainly, you know, if you're in front of a woman with hair uncovered, you could maybe be just close your eyes, even though the Mishnah Berurah quotes say, about that, you know, that could suffice. It is fitting for a woman to have special garments when she's a Nida, so they'll both remember that she's a Nida. I don't think this is the common practice nowadays. But it is logical. But I'm not sure most people do this. Test. Bekoshi tirlo leskashmeni dusel kadishu lesgan al baila. They, with great difficulty, allowed her to get dressed up nicely. Leskashi there means nice clothing and jewelry and makeup, etc. Right? They were matter, but Bekoshi, they would rather, she didn't look so nice when she was Anita. However, they don't want her husband to have a negative experience and not be attracted to her anymore because he has to be attracted to her in the future. And therefore, they were matir. So they were matir. The woman should look nice, but Bekoshi, what's the nafkmina Bekoshi Hitiru? That, okay, she should use her judgment and she should save her most attractive clothing, maybe for when she's not an Ida. Yud. But Lamaisa Hitiru, she shouldn't look like a shlump when she's an Ida because Chazal had insight and said that that would be bad for the relationship. Yud Kamalach she also labala nida osolo. This is Gemara Ksubas Daf Samach Aleph. That all the housework that a wife does, she can do when she's a nida, except for three things. Why? Because all the housework is just chores, and three things are chiba. What are the three things that are chiba? Mezigas akos, and we'll continue hatsas amita and harchatsas panav yada ve'raglav. All of which are very questionable how they apply. What they mean and how they apply bismanazah. So let's take them one step at a time. The first answer is mezigas hakos. Shasura, pouring a cup. Shasura limzog hakos. The Rama adds befanav. Ulanicho lefanav ala shulchan. Elam kein tasu shom hefer. The Gemara says, sorry, the Rama wrong, that their wife did a shinui, as a reminder that she's a need and it shouldn't be like the normal case. What are the two examples of shinoi? Either she serves with her left hand, or she puts it on a mattress or pillow or someplace not on the table, even with her right hand. Meaning either she serves with her left hand or puts it in the wrong place. The post can nowadays assume, even if you put it on the table, if you have a big table, you put it on the wrong part of the table, that also counts as a shinoi. In the old days, you had a personal table. Nowadays, we have a big dining room table, so if you put it at the table, but not at the husband's place on the table, then he has to like bring it from someone else's place on the table, or from the middle of the table, or from the serving part of the table to his plate, to his part of the table, that's considered a shima.
Is that going on with pouring as well, or just the
laniach? L'chora just the laniach. There's a big, big, tremendous debate. No one knows exactly what this includes and what it does not include. For example, what objects does this include? So, the Rashba, and perhaps the Mani Mishnah, the Rashba and the Mani Mishnah, which also assumes that the Mani Mishnah, let's grant that assumption, say it means only wine. Mezigas HaKos means Mezigas HaKos of wine. Astam Kos is wine in the time of the Gemara. Why wine? Because wine is an intoxicating, it's a party beverage, and therefore it's Margil Le'erfa. She can serve him coffee and tea, just not wine.
As a matter of fact, some say only if she mixes water into the wine, although the Rosh and the Mishnah don't differentiate that explicitly. So, Mizigas Hakos. In terms of the Cheftza, there are three opinions. One is the Rashba, and maybe the Magid Mishnah. All the Magid Mishnah says it doesn't mean water. The Vinz Yosef understands that to mean, you know, only wine, only wine. In which case, it's a very limited Isser. The, however, the Mechaber doesn't sound that way. The Mechaber sounds like Limzog Hakos. Right? And the, the Taz also says Mezigas Hakos. The stima of many Achronim is that, and maybe that's also what the Magid Mishnah sounds like, says not water. Right? So maybe, maybe what the Magid Mishnah means, the stimas lashon of the Mechaber and the Taz and other proskim is all mashkin, maybe except for water, because the Magid Mishnah says not water. We know water has a tremendous lack of chashivas. It's very important, meaning water is more important than wine in terms of your staying alive. It's much more important in general for human life, but it definitely has no chashivas. We know in Hilchas Brachos, for many purposes, water has no chashivas. Right, it's not called mazon. It's practically the only thing not called mazon, and you don't make a bracha on it sometimes, etc. The Shach quotes in the discussion of women who serve plates to their husband. He quotes from the Bach, quoting the Maharash Me Ostreich. The Bach himself goes back and forth. I can't promise you 100% clear what his maskan is, but it sounds like the Maharash Me Ostreich. And it seems like this is the maskan of the Bach. Right? It's not 100% sure in the Lashon of the Bach, but it sounds that way. And this is definitely the maskan of the Shach, is afilu, not only drinks, but even food. Meaning anything. Anything you eat and drink. Some of the postum still right, but not water. The Achronim still right, but not water. They said water is so not chashuv that water doesn't count as anything. That's not that. There's no chiba in that. However, they say no. You're not allowed to serve, the wife's not allowed to serve the husband anything. Not wine. Not coffee or tea. Not orange juice. Not roast. Not potatoes. Not petrulant. Not anything. That's all in Mezigas Hakos.
What about the husband to the wife?
We'll get to it. These three malachos, the Achronim assume, are applied both to the husband to the wife and the wife to the husband. I'm just using one example. But they apply both directions. Mezigas Hakos, Hatzas Amita, and Harchatzas Panagyada Varaglav. So here we have a big machlokus. Where's the Taz? The Taz is in Sifkat and Gimel. It's a little earlier. And the Aruch HaShulchan agrees with the Taz. What's the Taz's logic? The Taz says, no. Pouring a drink, that's a chiva. Serving food is derech avdos, derech shebros. Nah, serving food is a chore. Pouring a drink is a chiva. And the Shach disagrees. He says, no, all nurturing is a chiva. Whenever you serve some food and drink, that's a tremendous nurturing and tremendous chiva. And therefore, he, like the Maharash Ostreich, answers everything. So that's the machlokes. You know, the Rashba says it's only wine. It's a special thing of wine. What do you mean? Wine is for partying. Is for, you know, you get drunk. You dock in order to do the things you're not supposed to do when your wife's Anita. So it's special at wine. Taz says, no, it's all drinks, but not food. Why? Not because serving food is like hard work. Pouring drinks is like nice and, you know, closeness and tequila. And Maharash Ostreich and Bach say, no, everything is chiba. Everything is chiba. All nurturing is chiba. How do we paskin? Is
Very, very, very. Okay, there's many other machlokas as well. I got the. Where do I get chutz b'mayim? How do I know that, you know, maybe even the shach would make on water? The Badei Shulchan quotes from the Tzemach Tzedek that even those who asar all foods are still make on water. Because water is not kosher. Everything else in the world is kosher but water. As we know from Hilchos Brachos, from many, many different nafkaminas, that water is not kosher. Yes?
Could it be that water is also considered essential? Like, chiba could be something luxurious.
So something that's
water,
something.
All drinks except water luxurious, and that's the whole thing. Is food essential or is it luxury?
You're starting to sound a little strange.
Makes sense.
Lechora food is essential. I don't think it's luxury.
That's why it's hard to say, like,
okay, unless it's not luxury. It's just that water has no chashivos, because it's just water. Yeah.
Do you relate to the, we don't normally do these things out of others, in the sense that we don't come home and sit down and expect everything to be served in front of us as they might have in those days. So whether our wife serves us water or whether she serves us a glass of wine, either way, it doesn't seem like something that we are entitled to.
No, but it could be even nowadays. Some things are more like nice things and some things are more chores.
If someone comes
that's definitely true. There's
a cup of water, though, it wouldn't be like an expectation that somebody would be serving me water.
Yeah, I don't think by avdus he means like an expectation. He means like hard work.
You would still like appreciate and say thank you. Someone like.
Yeah, you appreciate and say thank you, but the question is it being done more to, you know, is it done with feelings of responsibility towards household chores or with feelings of, you know, closeness? And I think what he's saying is that.
How many are you doing out of chores nowadays?
Maybe you're overly idealistic. Maybe, I don't know. Okay, then you could agree with the shach. In water, you could say, regardless of how it's done, it's just so not chashuv that no one makes a big deal of it. Okay, here's an interesting, yeah.
Sparkling water?
Sparkling water is a good question. I mean, Hilchos Brachos, I don't know if I'm willing to commit myself, but lechora, it's more chashuv. Lechora, that's chashuv. Now, don't raise your hand and say, oh, what about, like, expensive bottled water? Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. Which way did you learn in your chassan classes? Which of the three shittas did you learn in your chassan classes? Three, the shach.
Three,
the shach. Anyone else?
Mm-hmm.
Who learned the shach in their chassan class? Raise your hand. Who learned one of the other shittas in your chassan class? Raise your hand. You went to the same chassan class as Effie.
No, but Effie wasn't allowed to hear his wife sing ever, and I can't. And we went to the same chassan class.
Not the only mahalakas they had.
That's so fascinating.
And post facto, we asked Rabbi Willig about water. We asked Neuberger about water, and he said, ask Rabbi Willig. And Rabbi Willig said, it's fine. And then I said, where is that from? And he didn't remember. And he found the body of Shulchan's thing. He's like, yeah, that's where it's from, and water's fine. So I think even Neuberger vows to water nowadays.
Okay, say it. Anyways, okay, but again, that doesn't prove. Okay, my impression is that the minhag of Olam in America, all Sfarim from America are very clear. They all pass on the Shach. Except for Willig, who paskins like number two. He asers drinks and maters food. But I'm pretty sure the minhag of the poskim and the, at least the Bnei Torah in America is like sheet number three. Reich Sokolovsky in his book writes out sheet number three. No, sheet number three. That's everything. That's right. So lost. I just said very willing Paskin this way. This is, he says, only drinks. No need to be macro by food. And what?
What about Aaron's sister?
Other American postkin, including Arisolovsky in his book, Paskins that the minhag. We spoke the minhag in America was also to be macro even on food. In Eretz Yisrael, I've seen very different minhagim. The Sephardim in Eretz Yisrael are all only machmer on drinks. The Ashkenazim in Eretz Yisrael, which makes sense, okay, Ostreich doesn't sound very Sephardi. The Machaber only talks about a kos, right? The Ashkenazim in Eretz Yisrael, I've seen different minhagim. I think many people also machmer on food, but I've seen different minhagim. I've seen in every sefer written in America. Says like the shach, and like Maharaj Ostrai. This is far written Eretz Yisrael. Many of them say, oh, they're Yesh no Gimkach, Yesh no Gimkach.
Yeah, I'm not
a
Shara, but the
Rebbe
said that any small
Shino
makes it okay.
Yeah, okay. Seder, I think everyone would agree with that. Okay, maybe. Small.
With the
anyway, right, so the Maisa, I think that the common minhag in America is to be machber even on food. Oh, how do you serve food? You serve food with a Shino. It's not so hard to do a Shino. You can either use your left hand. I mean, it's also easy to be machber because it's easy enough to do a Shino. Or just don't put it down right in front of your husband or wife. Just put it down in the next place of the table, in the middle of the table, and let them take it themselves. Like the shinuyim in the mechaber. Okay, so certainly there are different valid ways to paskin here. And Rabbi Willig is not very convinced by the Shach's arguments. The Shach quotes in the end is Sefer HaTruma, who offers even food. Sefer HaTruma is talking about putting it directly hand to hand, which we don't do anyway. He's not talking about putting it on the table.
Yes.
What's the whole point of the Shach and the Bach based on Mamar Ashrei? They say this is, of course, only referring to a specific serving. But if it's a serving plate, that's talking about the wife serving the husband his personal plate, or the husband serving the wife her personal plate. But a serving plate is for sure okay. Meaning, if the wife brings a serving plate and puts it on the table for everyone to take, that's for sure okay, because that's not miyuchad for a husband.
Or his cup would be.
She can't pour, give him a cup. She can bring a bottle to the table, and that's for everyone. I don't know if that's what you meant.
Miyuchad has some meaning like his better than no one else.
No, miyuchad doesn't mean his special better. No. It just means it's for him as opposed to for the whole table. That's what miyuchad is. They didn't mean like it's a special plate. They meant like it's his serving as opposed to everyone's serving. That's what they meant. Makes no difference. It makes no difference if it's a special plate or a regular plate. That's not what they meant. Okay.
And everyone allows water.
I mean, most of the posts don't discuss it. The Baal Yisrael was most of the Tzemach Tzedek who says everyone would allow water. Only the Magen Mishnah mentioned it. But he quotes in Tzemach Tzedek says everyone would allow water because water has no chashivas at all. Meaning it keeps you alive, but it's not, you know, it's not important. It's not tasty, and therefore you do make those. What are the terem shinoi, which the two shinois are small, or shalom, or hanacha, shalom, mkomo, right, not in the right place, or a serving plate. A serving plate is mutter. I mean, that should be intuitive because that's for everyone. We'll see perhaps another hetter in a moment. Isaac.
The shinoi of smol is that the pouring itself, that's the handing.
Lachor, it's the handing.
Two questions. First of all, what does a shinoi accomplish in the sense that
it reminds them of nida?
When a woman could put a piece of bread that is really plain and frozen and not allowed to put it in front of the husband, it could make like a beautiful. That's the second question. First of all, just shinoi. What does that accomplish?
It's a reminder. It doesn't make it nachiba. It's just a reminder.
We related the discussion a little bit with regards to whether when we have a reminder, like the kankan or bread on the table, does that serve as a reminder just for the purpose of sitting the same table?
Yes.
Can that reminder?
That doesn't help. Something between their plates doesn't help for this. Here you need a reminder in the act of.
The other question was with regard to the difference between polluting versus serving, where someone could physically place a piece of bread in front of a husband and it could be completely unromantic and simple and could prepare a gigantic, beautiful pie and favorite dish and just leave it 2 feet away and that would be perfectly fine.
Yeah, that's the way halacha works.
But no one relates to the diluting aspect in the sense of preparing.
As something chashev. Look, there is a. He quotes the Gos Bamonios, says maybe it's only if you dilute the wine with water. But other people don't pick up on that.
Nowadays, like left and right, I don't know if people are so mocked about. Like, would that be something that.
Really?
I mean,
you serve food with your left hand?
I don't think people are mocked enough to notice it as a shinoi.
Really?
I noticed if your wife did it.
Okay. We don't need newcomers.
Not in front of the other person, but also
not in front of the other person is also okay. Yes, shalom afanav is also okay. But the point, meaning, what if they're not there? Then that's also okay.
She can prepare the plate in the kitchen and then bring it out.
Right, that's good. Refanav is a big thing. We'll get to that in a moment. Correct.
But refanav is preparing the serving.
Oh, we'll get to that in a moment. Give me a second.
Yeah,
that's the machlokes b'charam
ramah. Shalom b'mkomo is just putting it
in the wrong place.
Generous.
Yeah, put it in the wrong place.
Right,
let's make this very clear. If you put it in the wrong place, that's an even more noticeable shema.
Shalom b'fanav regard. What about the regards to sending something?
What?
Shalom b'fanav
sending is fine.
Counts both ways.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking about one yet. But what? Shalom b'fanav. Say that again?
Since that he's not there or she's not there.
Correct. Okay, now there's a few other details we have to fill in, which is what actions are called are bechlal the iser of mezika. Which actions are bechlal the iser of mezika? So, not in terms of the chefza, but in terms of the maaseh. By the way, in the Beis Yosef, he quotes that the Rambam and Smag and others sound like it's only usher to put it in hand to hand, which is clearly against our minhag that we wouldn't put anything hand to hand, not a kosher or anything else. But let's assume that no, it's something even putting it on the table. But what is usher? So, for example,
that they get from the Gemara.
What? The Gemara says you can't serve the kos, so the Rambam says it means hand to hand. No, because there was even something that's not a kos. It was even a what were the things there? A pach, which is not lachor, not something you ate. So first of all, you could say the Rambam and the Smag and others say only hand to hand. However, most Rishonim say even serving, even placing on the table is usher. We obviously hold like the other Rishonim because we hold you're not allowed to pass anything hand to hand, even a beam of lumber. So that's clear. But which maaseh is usher? So we know when it comes to mezigas hakos, what does mezigah mean? It doesn't mean serving, it means diluting or pouring. Right? Diluting or pouring. On the other hand, the Gemara talks about serving it to him with her left hand. Or serving it to him by putting it on the barrel. They didn't have, the Gemara's example wasn't a match of the barrel instead of on his table. So clearly serving is relevant, but somehow the word mezigah means pouring. So here is a big machlokas. Says the Mechaber, limzog hakos l'nicho l'funav ala shulchan. The Mechaber seems very clear. It's only usher if you're mozeg and meniach. Only with two things together. If she pours the cup but doesn't give it to him, someone else gives it to him, or he comes to the kitchen and takes it himself, that's okay. If she doesn't pour the cup and just gives it to him, someone else poured the cup and she gives it to him, that's also okay. It's only a problem if she pours it and gives it. If she pours it and gives it to him. So says the Mechaber. Meziga plus hanacha. Most achronim assume meziga means even pouring, like the Maimonides Hebrew usage of meziga, even if you're not diluting with wine. Meziga plus hanacha. Plus hanacha bifanav. The meziga could be anywhere, right? The meziga could be anywhere. But the hanacha is in front of him, so if she pours it in the kitchen and then brings it to him, that is a problem. What is the Ramah arguing by adding one word? The Ramah says, limzog hakos b'funav. The Ramah is more makil than the Mechaber. Says the Ramah, only meziga b'funav plus hanacha b'funav. Only if she pours it in front of him and puts it on the table in front of him. If she pours in the kitchen and brings him, that's no problem. The Shach in Sukkot Yudali quotes a Bach who disagrees, sounds like the Mechaber. And the Shach says he's wrong. The Shach agrees with the Ramah. So the Shach says, no, the Ramah's right, only if she pours it in front of him and places it in front of him. But if she pours it in the kitchen and brings it to him, it's no problem. And the Bach and the Mechaber say, no, if she pours it anywhere and brings it to him, it's a problem. But it sounds like it's only a problem if she pours it. What if she doesn't pour it? How to get into the cup if she doesn't pour it? Or someone else had to pour it, right? What if she doesn't pour it? She just brings it to him. I don't know, she goes and buys it at a kiosk and then brings it to him, right? The guy who sold it, you know, Kofix, the Kofix guy poured it. And she brings it to him, right? The wife's Anita, she goes into Kofix and buys a coffee for her husband and brings it to him. So is that a problem or not? It seems like from the Mechaber and the Rambah that it is not. However, the Levush and others, the Badi Shulchan wants to be, the Badi Shulchan and Rav Forst and others want to be Machber, that the Levush and a Sefer called Mekor Chayim say, Afilu Hanacha Bifanav. Without pouring, even if someone else poured, even if it magically poured itself, it would still be a problem.
What?
They base it on the fact that they assume the word meziga is lavdafka, because in the Gemara it says, if you open up a Gemara Ksubas, let's open up a Gemara every once in a while. The whole question is, what words are like davka and what words are just like the words you always use? Right, so here it says, his wife handed it to him with her left hand. She put it on the barrel. She put it on the bed. She put it on the stool. So what do we see here? That all the Gemaras about Mezigas HaKos are talking about how she hands it, how she places it. Why aren't the Gemaras about pouring? So they understood, no, the pouring is lavdavka. It's just the verb mezika is used. It doesn't literally mean pouring. The pouring is not important. Who cares how you pour? It's not pouring that's important. I mean, just common sense. I don't care how you poured it. I care that you give it to me. Who cares who poured it? Who cares how it got there? I care that you give me a kos. So on the one hand, the lashon of mezika, and that's very clear in the Hagos Maimonides, quoting the Urayim, disagrees with this. Right, this has a marker in the Rishonim, the Hagos Maimonios B'Shem Yireim. If you remember in the Beis Yosef, he didn't get into exactly the Mechaber versus Ramah, but he said it's only Meziga plus Hagasha. But David Bush says no, it's even just Hagasha. And Rav Forst says we're Machber based on that, even with just Hagasha. The truth is nowadays it's usually not such a big nafkamina. I don't know. It sometimes could be. Usually, what's the issue nowadays? The issue nowadays is like pouring something into your cup that's already on the table. Then you have mezika and hanacha all in one fell swoop. That's a mezika plus hanacha in one maisa. Or putting something on your plate at the table. That's mezika and hanacha in one maisa.
Like she fills her husband's kiddush cup.
If she fills her husband's kiddush, that's mezika and hanacha. That everyone agrees is usher. If the mezika and hanacha is in one act, everyone agrees that's usher. The nafkamina is only if you fill it, if someone else filled it and you bring it. Which is not such a common thing. I guess it's really only if you go out to Kofix and bring, you know, because usually when you bring someone something, you fill it yourself. Or if it's in the kitchen, I don't know, there's one person helping in the kitchen who's filling things, and then she brings it to her husband. That's not so crazy, right? Mm-hmm. One person's like pouring the soup into the bowls in the kitchen, and she brings the soup bowl to her husband. So that would be a machlokas between these poskim. And even if she filled the soup bowl in the kitchen, but if it was in the kitchen, where he wasn't there, and then brought it to him, right? So the Ramah would say, it's only usher for her to, like, fill the soup bowl in front of him and give it to him. But if she fills the soup bowl in the kitchen, it's okay. The Mechaber, the Bab say, no, if she fills the bowl in the kitchen and brings it to him, that's usher. If someone else fills the bowl, that's okay. And the Bush would say, no. As long as she brings in the soup bowl, that is a problem.
Is a problem if he sees her pouring it and someone else brings it? Is that a problem? Like,
no, everyone agrees that's not a problem. Pretty much everyone. Everyone agrees that's not a problem. Because it's like a cold holy chakra. So if someone else brings it, she's like half sick from there. Now, the Shach actually is interesting. In Sukkot and Yud Gimel, he's a little masopic. He says, He says, maybe only diluting with wine is usher. Right? He quotes that from the Rosh Hashanah and Mishnah. They don't say that quite so explicitly. And then he says, or maybe even just putting a plate on the table is usher. Right? He's a little misalik in Yud Gimel, although in Yud Dalet it seems pretty clear that he's only machmer on Mezigah b'fanav and Hanachah b'fanav. Halacha l'maisa, halacha l'maase, there are many more. In foods, for sure, I think we can, you know, when it comes to food, I think here it's pasha. If you're very well, it says you don't have to be machmer at all. You for sure don't have to be machmer more than the Ramah and the Shach Zekat and the Dalet. Like, you know, you don't have to be machmer in food if she doesn't put it on his plate in front of him. Although usually in the case of food, she does. So I think for sure, if she fills the soup bowl or someone else fills the soup bowl in the kitchen, I wouldn't be machmer in that. Come on, many poskim are not machmer in food at all. Right? Willing says you can do whatever you want with food. It's only an issur of drinks. And even if there is an issur of food, the Ramah, the Shach say it's only usur if she fills the plate in front of him and then gives it to him. And here she filled the plate in the kitchen or someone else filled the plate in the kitchen. There, I would for sure take the sheet to the Ramah, the Shach. After all, the Ramah, the Shach are the Ramah, the Shach. You know, if it's mamish a drink, then maybe yesh makom lahachmir. Even just serving alone, the shach does bring up a afilum tim tzolomer din sinz ka'aral shochan havli kim zigas hakos. And he does bring that up as a possibility. So yesh makom, you know, I would say good to be machmir for drinks, certainly wine. No, good to be machmer for drinks. The extra machmer, after all, you can always give it with a shinoi for just serving. But for foods, it's enough to be machmer at all. You don't have to be machmer more than the Ramah. Yes?
Bidyabed,
it's mutter to eat and drink. What happened, happened, and you can eat or drink it. That's, I saw that in one of the Monday Poskim. I forget where. Mistamet in the Bari Shulchan.
In the case of the soup, even without that, is there any sort of say that she's not dafka serving him, she's bringing soup to everyone, and then on the way she's also bringing to her husband?
I don't like that svara. Do you want to make him make up by all soup? Make up by food in general, but I don't like that svara.
The special chiva, she's serving the whole table?
What? Yeah. She's, yeah. And I have a lot of kids. When I relate to them, I relate to each one of them independently with their own special chiva. Unless I bring a serving platter. That's different. Okay. So much for Mezigas HaKos. So there's a lot of unclarity, but we try to find some pshara. But in any case, there's many shinuyim ways to make it mutter. Yod Aleph, next malacha, tzasa mita, sura latziya mitasa b'fanav. She's not allowed to make the bed in front of him. Dafka prisa sedina v'amesa shudar chiba. And that means the sheet and the blanket and the pillow, because that's their chiba. V'latzasa karmak saso shutora v'eino der chiba shari. But putting the mattresses and the big pillows, if they have some big pillows that are Torah, things that are really hard work, that's mutter. Let's get back in a moment. Shalom afanav, I call mutter, but shalom afanav, everything is mutter. All these things are mutter, shalom afanav. All three melachos are mutter, shalom afanav. There's no chiba if he's not there. Okay, so she's not allowed to make his bed in front of him. We said these three melachos are bi-directional. He's not allowed to make her bed. It's not so hard to be machmer on this, right? If they're both there, let them each make their own bed. And if they're not both there, then one of them can make both beds, because it's not afanav, right? So it's not very hard to be machmer about this. The question is, what's called making a bed? What's called making a bed? So he says the part that is tircha is not making a bed. L'chomra, what's that part nowadays? L'chomra, it seems to be nowadays that putting the sheets on is a big tircha. Right? Putting the sheets on is a big tircha. That everyone hates doing, and that's if you had a housekeeper, then you would have her do it. You would never do it yourself. I'm pretty sure about that, right? The Gemara says, even if you have a million housekeepers, these three malachas a wife has to do for her husband to show him chiba. I don't think the wife would change the sheets on the bed to show her husband chiba. Nah, that's dirty work for the housekeeper if you're rich enough. However, then there's also putting the pillows in place and putting the blankets in place, and that's their achiba. That's already more personal. Here it's a little unclear. One thing's a little unclear is making the beds at night or in the morning. Clearly, Chazal and Mechaber refer to making beds at night, like making it ready for sleeping. How about when we make the beds in the morning? We make the beds in the morning, you're not getting ready to sleep on them. You're making it look presentable. I'm not sure why we make our beds in the morning nowadays. Once upon a time, they didn't have separate bedrooms and living rooms, so you had to make your bed in the morning so it would look nice all day long when you weren't sleeping. Nowadays, you have a bedroom. Why do you have to make your bed in the morning? But nonetheless, your mother teaches you to make your bed in the morning. So it'll look neat. What? To get it ready for sleeping.
Same thing.
But you're saying in the morning, you also get it ready. Why are you doing in the morning? You're also getting ready for sleeping. You're not making it look like a non-sleeping place. Okay. Anyway, there's a big debate. How about is making beds in the morning included in this or not included in this? Actually, there are different things we're willing in different years. Lamais says probably kedai to be machber. So Samita is making the bed. You are making the bed. I'd be machber. I'm even making the bed in the morning. After all, that does get ready for sleeping, right? When you wake up in the morning, your pillow is pushed off to the side and your blanket is all bunched up in the corner, and it's better, nicer to get into bed at night after you made your bed, you put your pillow where it belongs, you spread the blanket out. So I'd be machber making beds in the morning. Unclear. In Yishlain, I don't know. What's the minute? Are we machber making the beds in the morning?
Only right
before you go to sleep. What did you learn? I asked Rabbi Willing in different years, and he told me different things. It's very easy to be machber on this. It's not crazy to be machber even in the morning.
We're saying that nowadays it's flipped because the Shulchan Aruch says that it's pressed, pierces steam when the chassid should.
Yes, steam.
That's not putting pillows and blankets on it.
That's like a mattress, and they probably had a pillow that was heavy. That's a mattress.
Well, you mean like setting up that?
Yeah. Setting up the bed. So lamaisa, I think it's easy to be makel on like changing the linens, which is a big tircha, till you get to the stage of spreading out the pillow and blanket. Stage of putting us spreading out the pillow and blanket, that's not a big tircha. That's already more of a chiba. That's what's also. It's also nowadays the pillows and blankets. I know he might have had heavier pillows than we have, but the pillows and blankets are the chiba nowadays. The changing the linens is the housework and the drudgery nowadays. The whole question is, what if you're making the beds, but it's not bedtime? It's waking up time. So there, one could see it different ways. I don't think it's crazy to be machmer. Yud beis. Asura litzok l'mayim l'rchot panayada v'raglov. Afilu ein no gaspo, afilu ein sonim. She's not allowed to. Now, what does it mean to wash his hands, face, and feet? Forget about the hands, face, and feet. That's not important. That was just the example of what people washed when they got home from work in the old days. It's washing any part of the body, clearly. Now, all the Rishonim say, what do you mean washing? She can't touch him. Obviously, she can't wash him. Like, what's the happening? Right? Why do you need to ask her washing his face? She can't touch his face with flour. So they all say, no, it's referring to without touching. And that's what he says here. She's not allowed to pour water. It's not referring to washing him, like when you wash a baby. It means pouring water without touching. She's not allowed to pour water for washing, even if she doesn't touch him, even cold water. Okay, so she's not allowed to pour water for washing. What does it mean, pour water for washing? There's a big machlok between the shach and the taz here. The shach says, Sivkatan Tes Zion, quoting Ben Yonah, it means even bringing him a bowl of water. In the old days, that's what they used to do, by the way. I mean, it's not a crazy shot historically, because in the old days, when a guy got home, he'd be brought a bowl of water to wash his hands, face, and feet. You know, like in old movies in America, they bring him his pipe and his slippers and his newspaper, right? In the old movies in Babylonia, they would bring him a bowl of water to wash his hands, face, and feet. And that's what the Shach says also means, bringing a bowl of water for washing hands, face, and feet. The Taz says, no way, that's mutter, that's nothing, that's just bringing a bowl. What's usher is pouring the water onto him. So, that's the machlokes. What does it mean? What is harchatza? Washing. So the Shach says, based on Rabbeinu Yonah, is bringing water. And the Taz says, nope, only pouring water on him. Or on her. Okay. None of these are so common nowadays because we invented something called running water. Yeah. So, like, whoever brings other people water to wash with, it's not a common thing. You want to wash, you go to the faucet or shower. Shower is just a fancy faucet, right? Right? So, give me a second. So, the Maisa, we hold like the Shach. We hold, obviously, it's usher to pour water on him. It's even usher to bring a bowl of water. However, the Shevet HaLevi writes here that this is only referring to washing for Hana. But if it's for a mitzvah, for ritual purposes, then that's mutter, and therefore he says it's mutter for the wife to bring the husband a bowl of water at the Pesach Seder. Okay. That's a husband who has a real old-fashioned relationship with his wife. Every Friday night she brings a bowl of water. Yes. So the Shevet HaLevi says for ritual purposes we're mikil, because that's not such a chiba. But it's not such a common thing. And also it's only befun of. So like, what's the case? So the case that you could find in Israel nowadays might be, just give me a second, what if she like runs the bath, fills up the bath for him? But the problem is that's also not a common case because it's only us are befun of. Why would she ever fill up the bath if he was there? Right? Like, you know, like, who's that lazy that so his wife has to fill up the bath for him when he's there? You don't have to, like, bring the water uphill from the well. You just have to open the faucet. So the Maisa, it's not necessarily such a common thing nowadays that we invented running water. But theoretically, it would be usher in his presence to bring him fill him a bowl of water to use to wash with. Okay, and, yeah.
For Hasidim that do a nevelvasser in the morning,
So what about bringing them? So that's why the Shevet HaLevi says for ritual purposes it's not chiba.
Mayim Achronim is also a ritual.
And Mayim Achronim would be the same thing. Yeah, that's true. You do bring Mayim Achronim bowl to the table, right? That's a common thing. What?
It's very like.
Oh, but what if he's the only person there? Yeah.
Pouring on, isn't that like throwing or passing?
So interestingly, so the Taz doesn't directly address that. He might say that, the only thing I can think of is that he might say that no, that throwing is only a later minhag. And therefore, in the days of the Gemara, they asked pour water on you, and then only later they asked throwing all things. In which case, we have no enough community of Taz. No, he's being out to bring a bowl, not pouring on you.
Okay.
No, he's not being out to pouring on you, just bringing a bowl. I don't think the wife does that at the Seder table. Does the wife pour the water on her husband's hands or just bring him a cup and a bowl? I think she just brings it.
I've heard Spartan
do it.
I've heard Spartan do it for their father, but not the husband and wife.
Okay, good.
My Seder, someone is the designated pour for everyone.
And pours in everyone's hands.
Yeah, like, watch out of the bowl. Yeah.
And just pours in everyone's hands, really. Yeah.
Treated like
kings,
right?
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't remember if the Shevet HaLevi would be making in that case.
Speaking about Pesach, we normally pour some of these coasts. Would we apply this ritual thing to the coast also for Pesach
no.
Seder?
No.
So someone else would have to pour
yeah.
this coast.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Yud Gimel. Kshem Shasher Limzog Lo, Kachu Asher Limzog Lo. Just like she's not allowed to do mezikas close to him, he's not allowed to do mezikas close to her. And the achronim, such as Chachma Sadr and Aruch HaShulchan, many achronim say this applies to all three things. She's not allowed to be mozik for him, he's not allowed to be mozik for her. She's not allowed to be metziah for him, he's not allowed to be metziah for her. She's not allowed to be markets for him, he's not allowed to be markets for her. All these three malachas apply both ways. The Gemara's example is the wife doing it for the husband, because that was the normal thing to do in those days. But they apply both ways. But lo od, here we have an additional assert. Ella. A cup of wine is usher from even to send her indirectly shalom b'faneha. He can't even send with a shliach a cup of wine to her. Lo shna kosh bracha, lo shna kosh acher. It doesn't matter if it's a kosh bracha or another cup of wine. If it's specific for her, then he's not allowed to send her a cup of wine. Sending a cup of wine was considered to be a very
significant thing in those days, right? There's a brisa that says, if I send your wife a cup of wine, I'm chayav misa, because that's like bordering on adultery. Okay, maybe that doesn't resonate with us nowadays in our social reality.
Buying some a drink.
But I guess it's like buying it, right? Right? If I go to your wife in a bar and say, can I buy you a drink? So you would challenge me to a duel, would you not?
Yeah, I wouldn't use that word, but yeah.
Yeah, okay, and therefore I can't even walk up to my own wife in a bar and offer to buy her a drink when she's Anita. Or the parallel in the old days, and we keep the halacha from the old days, I can't send my wife a cup of wine when she is a nida. However, leftovers are okay. If they drink the same cup and she drinks my leftovers, that's okay. Remember, the wife's allowed to drink the husband's leftovers. The husband's just not allowed to send it to her. Okay, nowadays we don't really send many cups of wine. We don't send a lot of cups of wine anyway. It's not a big deal. Where might this come up? Kiddush. Right? It's a mitzvah to drink from the kosher bracha, as we know. Right? So, if the husband makes kiddush, then the wife might want to drink from the kosher bracha. But if she's a nida, and she's allowed to drink his leftovers, but if she's a nida, he can't send her the cup. He can't even ask a kid to pass her the cup of wine. Right? I can't even tell my kid, pass Ima the cup of wine specifically for her, because that's sending her a kos. So what can you do? So first of all, I could just pass it around without specifically giving it to her, and then they'll pass it to her, right? That's not specific. That's not miyuchadla. Again, miyuchadla doesn't mean a special cup versus a regular cup. It means specifically addressed to her. I can't say, give my wife this cup of wine. But I can pass it around that everyone will take if there's nothing specific for her. Or what if it's just me and my wife, right? Newlyweds, just me and my wife at the Shabbos table, and she's in need, and I make kiddush. How does she have this chus of drinking from the kosher bracha if I can't send her the cup of wine? So the answer is, I can't like put the cup of wine down near her and let her take it, because that's sending her the cup of wine. Rather, I drink from the kiddush cup, I put the cup down in my own place where I got it from. Ilo, I'm just keeping it for myself. And then on her own initiative, she comes and takes it. That's drinking leftovers without having it sent to her. And then that's okay. So the two ways for the wife to drink from the kiddush cup are A, if the husband doesn't send it particularly to her, just passes it around, or fills like a lot of cups and passes them all around, but anyone could take any cup, so it's not specifically for her. Or B, if he just drinks in the kiddush cup and puts it right down where he got it from, and then she takes it on her own, then he's not sending, and that's okay. He can pour into another kli if he's not sending that kli to her. Like, for example, let's say he pours some into his glass.
Mm-hmm. But not her.
Right? But not her glass. If he pours some into his glass, and then she, drinks on her own initiative, that's okay. But he can't send it to her. He can't send it her way. He can't even, like, move it her way.
But if he has guests, and he puts a bunch up on a plate.
Then, since it's not miyuchadla, that's okay. That's like a serving plate. That's okay. Okay. Yes.
When he's sending it, let's say, around the table, but first to her, that's miyuchadla.
No, because none of these cups are specific for her, right? Let's say he fills six little cups, and then passes it around. So even if she picks the first of the six cup, but none of these six cups are for her,
no,
right? They're for everyone.
If he's passing around the actual kosher bracha first to her, and then it goes to everybody.
Then I think it's a problem because he's sending it first to her, and he's passing it specifically to her.
Just going back to the tircha of making, is laundry considered a tircha?
Laundry's a big tircha.
Yes.
Where you been? Laundry's a very big tircha. What?
It's still a tircha.
Laundry's a big tircha, yes. Yes, they can do each other's laundry. Not a problem. You're Dalad. The call Elo or Chakas. Not depending on who does the laundry in this family. I don't know whether he wants to get out of or take more responsibility. But call Elo or Chakas. Sarach laharachim feimu yinidosa beimu libud. All these Chakas apply during the main nidos and the main libud. What does main nidos mean? Nidos means when she's actually bleeding. Libud means when she's counting the Shiva Nikiyam, the seven clean days. But either way, she's an equal level of Isser. Shame Kogimesu Rasa, which are the days of counting the seven clean days. Also, there's no difference
whether she needs a daraisa because she had a re'iyah mamish, or only needs a rabbanim because of the kesem. Don't say it needed a rabbanim, we don't make xeris. No, we make all xeris and only does the same. The yeshomer says, well, there's a yeshomer, there is a minority shita out there. The ein lahachru may be guna b'ninis rachilim ha'bakara. That they can eat in the same plate and kolshkin at the same table during the seven clean days during the meilibud. The chein ogin lagel was that. Apparently, the meiling in Ashkenaz is doing meikel that way. But says the Rama, he doesn't say pal nefesh is machmir or tov lahachmir, etc. He uses a much stronger lashon. He says the yesh lahachmir, meaning even though the meiling is to be meikel and the Rama usually justified the minhag, in this case he thinks the meiling is wrong. Okay, where does such a distinction come from? It seems to make no sense whatsoever. Why would there be a difference between the day she's bleeding and counting the Shemini Kiyum? Either way, she's the exact same level of Isser until she finishes the Shemini Kiyum and Tovas. So, you can ask two questions. One, like, what's the source in Shas where they gotta have me to distinguish? And two, what's the Svar to distinguish? So, let's take ourselves a little box. No, this is not going to work. Someone want to take a picture? You know how to take a picture?
Gil said it.
Okay. Sif Yadavit. First of all, what is the makor bishas lechalek ben yemei nida liyemei libun? So the main source in Shas is, it's a questionable source in Shas, from that famous story I keep telling you about the Tanit Ve'eliyahu on Shabbos Daf Yud Gimel about the guy who died. So why did the guy die? His wife, remember. Guy was a Talmud Chacham, he died young, his wife went around complaining that God was wrong for killing him, and so finally Eliyahu came and spoke to her a little harshly, and said, oh yeah, well how did he act when you were in Nida, when you were bleeding, when you had your period? Chas v'shalom, he didn't touch me even the pinky finger. Okay, how did he act during the Meilibud, during the Shivat Nikiyam? Says, well, he ate with me and drank with me, against and slept in the same bed without pajamas, against the Isser of sleeping together in the same bed. But Chaschal never had a half mean of Tashmesh. And she thought that was okay. And he thought that was okay. And Eliyahu says, Baruch HaMakom Shaharago, right? A good thing that Hashem killed him because he disrespected the Torah. Okay, now again, we shouldn't learn from this that whenever someone dies young, we should find some halacha they violated and go to the Shiva house and say, Baruch HaMakom Shaharago. But in this case, was a special case where the wife was going around to all the shuls and base medrashes and saying that Hashem was running the world improperly and that Hashem didn't know how to execute justice properly. So he had to use harsh weapons against her. However, what do we see from here? That this guy and his wife acted differently in Yemei Libun than Yemei Nida. And Eliyahu knew to ask that. So now, you could say, who cares? The guy was an Eisvarf, and Eliyahu knew he was an Eisvarf. No good, Nick. The guy was a Rasha, and Eliyahu knew Baruch HaKodesh, what his Rishos was, so he identified his Rishos. Just because a Rasha did that, after all, yeah, whoever wants to die young should... Didn't mean Michal, she may need it, you may leave it, but that's not a halachic makar. But if you want to, you could perhaps be medayik that no, we see there is some difference. But he took the difference too far. Eliyahu, we knew there was differences, but you shouldn't take the difference so far as to sleep in the same bed. That's ridiculous. So perhaps that's the makar, right? It's a questionable makar, right? The Shabbos, Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The story of the Eliyahu Navi. Fascinatingly enough, another hint to this distinction comes up, and this is in a halachic context, in Rashi, in Ksubas, when Rashi talks about the uh, how Rav Chista's wife handed him the cup or put the cup with her left hand, bimei buna, which implies there might be something special in that bimei buna. So Rashi in Ksubos Daf Samach Aleph Bey says, Hagashas kos bismol bimei buna. Sounds like perhaps there's more kula. Maybe the heter of small only applies me liba, now you may need that. We don't pass that way. So there is some basis to perhaps distinguish. The question is, what's the svara to distinguish? What's the svara? Like, halachically, it's the exact same level of iser. What is the svara l'chalik? So here I found two svaras l'chalik. One svara is Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that bizman hashas nahagu shtei tvilos. This came up by the Orcha earlier. In the days of Shas, they were tovel twice. Once at the end of Nidadoraisa, and once at the end of Chumrad Rarizera. Nahagu shtei tvilos. They were tovel twice. Achas achar yimei Nidadoraisa vehashniya Achar Zayin Nikiyem Mishon Chumra Rabbi Zera. Now it makes sense. You made Libon, she was only Durabonon because of Chumra Rabbi Zera. And that's why you could be more Makel, perhaps.
Does this Minag have anything to do with the Minag of Rabbi Tam during the Yimei Tohar and Yimei Lida?
So it might. That depends. It's not clear in Rabbi Tam when they Tovel the first time. If they tovled first after 5 days and then counted it's not clear when they started counting Shiv Nikiyam. Meaning, it's not clear in Rabbeinu Tam. We're going to get that in the next simon. If they started counting Shiv Nikiyam, after 5 days, and then tovled, then that has nothing to do with anything. But if everyone was Tmeya for 14 days a month, according to Rabbeinu Tam, and they counted Yimei Nida, and then tovled, and then started Shiv Nikiyam, because you can't start Shiv Nikiyam when you're a Nida, then it would be the exact same minhag. And we actually do find a minhag of many places to wait 14 days, 7 and 7, which would tie into this. So Rabbeinu Tam itself, we're not sure. Meaning, if you had 5 days of bleeding, then started counting Shiv Nikiyam, then 2 days later tovled for Nida Doraisa, and then counted the rest of Shiv Nikiyam, then it's not connected at all. But if they would wait 7 days of Nida tovled, and then count Shiv Nikiyam, then it's the exact same Shita.
Can you say that there's like a chazaka of Tahara?
And therefore what? She's still an Isser of Karis.
I'm saying during when she's already had to have six haras, and there's 3 days. I mean, in terms of why it could be more Minkel, maybe five.
But why could it be more Minkel? Still be as an Isser Karis. So you're right, Chazaka, she's not bleeding anymore, but who cares? She still has a Halacha Gisser on her until she counts Shiv
Nikiyam. That's not the Durabonon part?
Until she tovels, she's Doraisa. Right? Until she tovels, an Isser Doraisa. Let me give you an example. Let's say she period ended and she counted 100 clean days and didn't go to the mikvah. She would be a total isser, same as everyone else, right? So why is there more room to be makel? Until she goes to the mikvah, she's an isser karis. That's the problem. The Ravan and the Ravya say a different part. The Ravan and the Ravya say that what's the reason? In which case, this would not apply nowadays. Why wouldn't it apply nowadays? Because we don't tovel twice. You're in Isser Doraisa till the end of Shiv Nikiyam because you haven't gone to the mikveh yet, which is what I was telling you before. Right? I mean, who cares that it's only Drabbanan you have Chumrat Rarizera? Till you go to the mikveh, it's Doraisa. The Ravan and the Rav Yah say, no, it's because she is toveling soon. And therefore, it's hergel mitzvah, not hergel aveira. And especially, they felt this because where did the Ravan and the Rav Yah live? Isaac, where did the Ravan and the Rav Yah live?
Ashkenaz.
What does Ashkenaz mean?
Germany.
Germany. And most of these people live in the northern parts of Germany. In the northern parts of the Germany in the winter, it got very
cold.
Got very cold. And what was particularly cold in the mikveh in the winter? What was the mikveh? Right? Keep in mind, don't imagine I'm not an idiot. Who's been to the Ari mikveh in Tzfat? Now go to the Ari mikveh in Tzfat in the winter. Right? Well, it's a bit of Kimberly Robbie Day. Yeah, it's freezing, right? So as a matter of fact, the men, they really had to convince their wives to go to the mikveh. I don't mean because of marital discord. Maybe some people had that. I mean, even healthy marriages. When it was January in northern Germany, it took a lot of convincing to get the wife to go to mikvahs. They say, Adrava, you're not eating with her, this and that. How are you going to get her to go to the mikveh? It's hergel mitzvah. During Yemei Nidos, she's not close to toveling. But when she gets close to toveling, you have to start being nicer and relaxing the restrictions so that she'll want to tovel and she'll want to be with her husband. In which case, that might apply even bizman hazeh. And l'chora, this is the Ramah. This would apply bizman hazeh. And this explains the minhag in the Ramah. However, here's the catch. Says the Ramah, tovel hachmir, because after all, it's a das yachid.
This is
after 7 days, right? This is, give me a second. The Ramah says Tov Lahachmir, because it's Das Yochid. Says the Shach and the Taz, it's not even the Das Yochid. Right? Minim Ramah to rely on this Das Yochid, but Ramah is Machmir. Says the Shach and Taz, this is all a mistake. It's not even the Das Yochid, as Sammy just pointed out. You all misread the Rav Yah and the Ravan. You all misread the Rav Yah and the Ravan. You thought the Ravan and the Rav Yom were saying during Yom Levon, it's Hergel Mitzvah? That's not what they said, Sammy. What did they actually say?
After
Yom Levon. What counts as after Yom Levon? I assume they mean Mitzvah Sayom Kekulo. On the afternoon of the seventh day, I assume by after Yom Levon, you don't have to wait till after the seventh day. They probably meant the afternoon of the seventh day.
It doesn't mean that she's counts at least for a reason she didn't go to Mikveh.
No, I assume they mean Mitzvah Yom Kekulo, so even the afternoon of the seventh day. Because Taka, we do say Mitzvah Yom Kekulo, Midoraisa. They meant after she finishes counting on Mikveh afternoon. That's what they meant. That makes a lot more sense. Right? What? Because she's going to the Mikveh 7 days from now, you have to be Margil? That's ridiculous. The whole 7 days. It's a tema that anyone thought they meant this. Shach doesn't matter. Look at their lashon. Their lashon is, what's their lashon? Says the Ramah, it applies lefi das yachid zo during Meilibun, right? He says there is really a shita that's makel during Meilibun. What's that shita? Not Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam's only makel if you went to the mikvah once already. So it must be the Rabban and the Rav Yah, says the Shach and Taz, and this is the diuk of the Lashon of the Ravan and the Rav Yah have the same Lashon, meaning, not that I'm picking a fight with the Ramah, but they're right. Right? Is that it only applies Achar Yemei Libon. That already makes a lot more sense. After she counted 7 days, then it's Hergel Mitzvah. Sammy says maybe that means only on the eighth day. I think that means even the seventh afternoon. Because by the seventh afternoon, she's already mixed the Yom Kekulo, counted 7 days. Right? That's what it means. It means when she's mamish ready to go to the mikveh, when she's ready to go to the mikveh right now, or today, when she's ready to go to the mikveh today, that's when they're makel that it's Hergel Mitzvah. But they say there's not even Das Yochid that's makel nowadays. The Ramah shouldn't have said Yesh Lahachner. He should have said there was never such a sheet in the first place, say the Shach and the Taz. There was never such a sheet in the first place. There is no sheet that's makel. Because Rabbeinu Tam said, based on Rabbeinu Tam's story, you could be makel only if you went to the mikveh once already. Which nowadays you don't go to the mikveh once before Shiva Nikiyam. And based on the Ravan and the Rav Yor, only makel after Shiva Nikiyam. So there is no such kula. Lamaisa, we pass like the Shach and the Taz. There is no sheet that's makel. In which case, there is no svara or shita to be mako in Yemei Libun. And not only that, even after Yemei Libun, we don't rely on this because it's a das yachid, but at least it's a shita. Right? We pass like the Shach and the Taz. we still don't rely on the shita. We're not mekel at all. But even the shita that some people might want to be mekel in was only after the 7 days, not during the 7 days. And really, the shachin tas seems to be right. There's no shita in Rishonim to be mekel during Yemei Liba, only after Yemei Liba. And even that, we don't rely on. Okay. Sif Tesvav. If the husband's sick, Zulasan has no one to take care of him except for his wife. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of servants and everything. Right? He's a regular guy. He doesn't have servants, and his wife needs to take care of him. Muteris Lasham, so she can take care of him. Rakshi Tizar, this is a Rosh Tizar, but Yosef Shatucha Meirchatz is Pani Yadavragla, Vatsasamita, Bifanav. Just she has to be careful as much as he can. What does that mean? That means it's not an absolute Isser. Just she has to try to avoid. What does she have to try to avoid? Making a bed and washing him in front of him. Right? She has to try to avoid that. So, then, hold on. If she has to try to avoid Hachatzas Panav Yadav Raglo and Tzos Amita, then what's mutter? Right? Says the Rosh. If the Baal is Chole, Muteres Le Shamsho. But not Hatzas Hamita and not Harchatzas Panav Yadav Viraglov. So what is mutter? So you might say, right? Which element of the trio is missing? He's the only matter missing is Hakos. But the Basio says that's Dacha, because like it sounds like all Shemesh is mutter, not only one thing. So what is mutter? One theory is only Mezigas Hakos. This is the Hava Mina in the Beis Yosef, but it's Dachuk. Then it should only be a Heter Mezigas Hakos. That's what he means. The second answer the Beis Yosef gives is no, all three Melachos are mutter if you need. Just you should try to avoid Hatzas Hamita and Archatz Panim Raglu Raglu, but they're really mutter. Unless you try to avoid means it's mutter if you need to, right? And this is the second opinion in the Beis Yosef. It's a heter of the three malachos. You should try to avoid, but lemaisa you can be mekel on all three malachos if you need to. Why, by the way, are we more machmer in the other two malachos than Mezigas Hakos? Like, why not try to avoid Mezigas Hakos? Like, why discriminate? So the Ba'as Shachir says in Sefkat Yod Ches, because in Mezigas Hakos, there's no need to be mekel. You can always do it with a shinoi. But the other two are not mutter b'shinoi, so therefore, you should try to be machmir. But if you can't, then you could be mekel. Meaning, the opposite of shot number one. All three malachos. Okay, let me go back here. Here, they were only making Mezigas Hakos. Meaning, Mezigas Hakos, according to the first shot, is more kapal. Right? Why? You have to say just that it's less hiba. Right? So the first shot is that there are machmer in these two malachas, make them one malacha, only make them Mezigas Hakos, because it's less hiba. Second shot is, I know there are machmer, they make along three malachas. But you have to. But what about Mezigas? All three malachas are mutter. But you have to try. Why not try to avoid Mezigas Hakos like the other two? Why, if all three are mutter, why does it say and try to avoid Mezigas Hakos? Like try to avoid the other two. So here we have a machlok. It says the shach because you do try to avoid Mezigas Hakos. And you always avoid it by using a shinoi. Meaning it's not that we're making Rizigas HaKos. We're not Rizigas HaKos. But the other two you try to avoid if you can. Rizigas HaKos you can always avoid. Let me say a little better. He says, we're practically more machmir by Rizigas HaKos. Why are we practically more machmir by Rizigas HaKos? Because it's easy to use a shinoi, so there's never a need to be mako. That's the shach. The Aruch HaShulchan argues. The Aruch HaShulchan says no. He says, no, there's no need to avoid mezigas hakos, because it's more kal, because it's less chiba. So here we have a machlokes, but a katzel a katzel. Why did say try to avoid the other two and not try to avoid mezigas hakos? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, you don't have to try to avoid mezigas hakos. It's heter gomer for a chola, because it's very kal. Says the Shach, no. You know why it doesn't say try to avoid mezigas hakos? Because you don't try to avoid. You just do avoid mezigas hakos. Because all you have to do is use a shinoi, and you can avoid it. So the Shach says we're never making mezigas hakos, because you can always use a shinoi. The Aruch HaShulchan says we're always making mezigas hakos. Okay, halacha l'maisa, we assume like the Shach. If you can use a shinoi, you have to use a shinoi. Now, however, there are two more opinions. The Trumas HaDeshen has a suffix. Says the Trumas HaDeshen, quoted in the HaDeshen, in one opinion, he says, afilu hoshata, afilu hoshata. We're makel even on passing, more than just the three malachos. And says the Trumas HaDeshen, in his second daya, afilu hoshata unigia. No, we're even makel on passing and touching. Forget about the three malachos. We're even makel on passing and touching. So we have three dayas what we're makel. Either we're only makel on mezigas hakos, or we're makel on all three malachos, what if necessary. Or we're makel on all three malachos if necessary and passing, if necessary. Or we're makel on all three malachos and passing and touching if necessary. Let's look at the lashon of the mechaber here. Says the mechaber, in mucholvi in lemishem shemesh lasam mutarz l'sham show shikim mishamishem. Rak shetizar biyosh tuchom erchas koni biyadu lagu latzos midupfanav. Okay, doesn't say exactly what mishamishem means. However, by contrast to Zion, where he says liga bakedei l'sham shet olakim alashkivu l'somcha, it sounds like spam mishamish means even negiya. That's the mashmos of the mechaber. Right? This is the mashmos of the mechaber. How do I know? The mechaber just says shimush. How do we know what shimush means? He hasn't added anything to the shacharash. Because in Tezayin, he defines shimush as touching, to pick up and put down and move around on the bed, like someone's really sick, so I need to move them all around. Therefore, and this is how we paskin that if the husband is sick, the wife can do all shimush, even the three malachos, even touching, even passing, she should just try to avoid hatsasa mita or chatzas pani yadav raglav if she can. That's tesvav. Now let us contrast this with tesayin. Tesayin is based on Shumas HaDeshen. Isha chol levinida. What if the husband is sick? What if the wife is sick? Asha labala liga bakide l'shamsha kum lakima ulashkiva ulesomcha. It is asher for the husband to touch her in order to be mishamish her, like, for example, to pick her up or put her down or to support her. He is more machmir. Why is he more machmir? What about if it's the isha chola, not the husband, but the wife is sick, then, says the machaber, he says, usher to touch. It doesn't say usher mishamish, just usher to touch. Says, this is more chamer, and negiya is asura, and then we would say, like Shita 3, which is basically where the Trumas HaDeshen is going. He says in the end, he says, even if we'll be mekel on everything, even touching, the husband's sick. If the wife is sick, we'll be machber on touching. Why are we more machber if the wife's sick than if the husband's sick? Anyone?
So the husband has a bigger yitzhar.
Because the husband has a bigger yitzhar, and also the husband like needs his strength more.
right? The husband in Tashmosh needs to be more active and needs to have, so therefore, if the husband's sick, his Yetzer Hara is weak, and okay, but it's not just his bigger Yetzer Hara. His Yetzer Hara is weak, and he's the one who usually takes more initiative and is more active, etc. So if the husband's sick and he's weak, then we're not so machmir. Because he's weak and probably not going to start up Tashmish anyway, and she's not going to start up with him. But if the wife's sick and the husband's healthy, he has a healthy Yetzer. And therefore, he might want to be interested in Tash with the wife, and he has a bigger Yetzer Hara, or he initiates it more. Therefore, this is another thing. It's not bidirectional. We're more suspicious of the husband than the wife. If the husband's sick, the wife's going to say, oh, let him just get better, or, you know, not start with Tashmish. If the wife is sick, the husband's going to have a Yetzer and want Tashmish. Therefore, we're more macro and don't allow touching. How, according to Mechaber, the Ramah disagrees. Yesh Omerim, Dvein Lomi Sheish Roshet Amotzer V'chol V'chit Nogim Shichar V'lekach. Yesh Omerim, that if there's no one else available, then if she really needs it, if it's really necessary, we are Mekel. So that's the Mechaber. But the Ramah says, if necessary, he disagrees with the Truma Sedeshin, even in Giya, everything's Mutter, like what we called above, Shita number 4. He is more Mekel than the Mechaber. The Achronim write that the Lechem Asimla, which is the Pirush on the Shulchan Aruch here by the Baal Kitz Shulchan Aruch, writes that even according to Ramah, it's Tricha Harbe. Therefore, if the husband's sick, even a small tzorich is matter. If the wife's sick, only if it's a big tzorich. Okay, what does this mean? What it means is that one has to make more of a tircha and effort to find an alternative. If the wife is sick, then if the husband's sick. So the Lachim says, if the husband's sick, then if there's no one else easily available, then the wife can serve him. If the wife is sick, then he should try to find someone else to help her, even if he has to hire someone if he can easily afford it. He should make more of an effort to find someone else to help her. But if not, then it's mutter. So therefore, you have to try and make more of an effort to go more out of your way. You have to go out of your way to try to find someone else to do it if the wife is sick. Out of deference to the Mechaber. Only if it's sort of harbi, you don't really have a good option. Well, if the husband's sick, you don't have to go so far out of your way to find someone else to do it. So if the husband's sick, a regular tzarech, the wife's sick, tzarech harbi.
So unless they're on vacation, there's literally no one else, and they always have to ask a neighbor or hire someone or something like that.
I mean, within reason, you know, you have to use your common sense. Just make a little, I would say, you have to use your, this is not the Lechem Asimla speaking, you have to use your common sense, make a little more of an effort if the wife is sick, and make a minimal effort if the husband is sick, make a little moderate effort if the wife is sick.
And how is this
but you have to be normal.
With the embarrassment that we talked about.
So you have to take all that into account. You know, take all that into account. One of the big issues that comes up nowadays, I'll point out, is people have fertility treatments. Often it involves hormones, and you get the hormones with shots, with injections. And you need the hormones dafka when you're Anita, right? That's when the wife has to get all these shots. So when the wife's Anita, no one's sick here, right? Everyone's healthy. They just struggle with infertility, right? Everyone's healthy. So everyone has a healthy Yetzer Hara. So how does she get the injections? Often it's not something you can do yourself when she is a Anita, is a big question. Rav 4 says that the minhag is that if there's someone else easily around, great, wonderful. But it's very hard to always get someone else to give the shots. The minhag is that we're make all the husband giving his wife shots when she is Anita. You know, it's very, very far from Derechipa. It hurts to get a shot. It's not pleasant. At all. We all know it's for the cause, right? In the end, it's, you know, out of love, they want to build a family together, but in the moment, no one likes getting shots. And however, you know, try to, the minhag is to not directly touch. Meaning, if, you know, either do through clothing or wear gloves, to not directly touch. But the minhag is to be mekel on shots, which is a common thing in fertility, very common. Common question that comes up, the minhag is to be mekel. Okay, last, yes. You have to learn your Zion. Even for Harold Day and all that.
Part of a nursing women fit into colon?
Sometimes they're sick. Sometimes they're healthy. We should daven that all women, if they give birth, should be very, very healthy. But, you know, in the way of the world, sometimes they're not.
Like the first week or so, let's say, after a woman gives birth, or the longer when you pass her things, something like that?
So, again, it depends how healthy she is. Some women, After they give birth, 15 minutes later, they're back at work.
Not most.
Yeah, but again, it's a matter of if you need to. I mean, it's not carte blanche. No one says, oh, you're halos chola, you know, you can do whatever you want. It means when necessary. So what does that mean? That means you don't have to know who's a chola is not. If it's not necessary, then don't do it. And if it is necessary, then it's necessary. So do you need to pass your wife something if she had a baby? I don't know, depends how she feels, and if you need to pass her something. But yeah, we could be mako. Certainly on passing, I think passing is not even a chola to the chaber in the Rama. They are arguing about touching. It can be Mekel on passing. That's clearly the Tribus of Deshin. He in passing, he didn't want to be Machmar. He was only trying to be Machmar and touch him. We can be Mekel if necessary. But it doesn't mean like Stam just for fun. It means if necessary. She's in bed and she's too weak to go get something herself. Then even so, if you could put it on her bed, then you should. So I don't. Lamaisa are women after childbirth. They're not sick like they were in the old days. But if it's that, I mean, I hope. You know, you never know. Anyway, use your common sense. Okay, Zion, we have to quickly finish up this simon, even though it's not so quick. Imbala rofe, aser lemashish lahadfak. Mishish hadfak is taking pulse. That's an important part of medicine. In the old days, even nowadays, doctors take your pulse. In the old days, before they had a lot of modern medicine, it was a much more important part. There were very few other things they knew how to do besides taking pulse. And taking pulse is a big deal. Galen has pages and pages about taking pulse, and all the ancient and medievals have a lot of pages in their medical textbooks about taking pulse. So, Asher Lamash Lo Hadfak says the Rama. According to what I said, that we're Mekel if the wife is sick. We're sure he can take her pulse if there's no other doctor available. And there is Sakana. So Kol Shekain it's mutter. Ayin Borachayim, it's okay. So here we have a fundamental machlokas. Says the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef wants to say that it might be usher even Makom Pikuach Nefesh. Why? Because the Rambam holds that Kreva is an Isser D'Oraisa, that physical contact is an Isser D'Oraisa, and then it's Abizrayu Degili Arayos. And I was right to Gila Rice, heard about Yavor. He wants to say, quickly take a picture of the board, Ellie. That's very late.
The Rama is saying that he's allowed to do it if it's a need or if it's a
Okay, so you know what? Let's just end with that. We won't finish this now. The Rama says something funny. Sammy noticed the disconnect in the Rama. We're going to forget about the Chabra and how close the Chabra Rama. We'll talk about that next time. There's a disconnect in the Rama. What is the Rama saying to Zion? If a woman is sick, we're Mekel if she needs it. And if there's no one else. So what do you say? Based on what I said earlier, we're Mekel if there's no one else and she's sick and she has Sakana. What are you talking about? To Zion, he says we're Mekel for Chol She'ein Bo Sakana. Why in Yud Zion is he saying we're Mekel for Chol She'ein Bo Sakana? You could say kol shekin means kol shekin if there's sakana, but it's a funny lashon, right? So what's shot in this Rama? Why did the Rama in Siftes Zion he says mutter for a chola she'ein ba sakana, and why in Sif Yud Zion you say mutter for a chola she'ein ba sakana, and he himself references it. It makes no sense. It's very difficult. So here we have a big machlokas. Is it a kol shekain? You might say he needs as much even without sakana. Kol shekain if there is sakana. Why bring it up? Because the Beis Yosef wants to make there is sakana. So here there is a machlokas. One shita says, no, Yud Zayin is also mutter b'li sakana. The kol shekain b'makom sakana. He meant kol shekain is mutter b'li sakana, but it's mutter without sakana. The Vade Shulchan quotes some Achronim who want to say that no, Yud Zayin is only making makom sakana. But then they have to figure out why. Some people say, because taking the pulse is not really so important. Therefore, we're not so makom. And then he quotes a sefer called the Beish Arim who says, taking the pulse is more chamer. And this is not so crazy. I actually saw in the, you know Rabbi Nehenkin from Nishmat?
So her husband is a big Talmud Chacham. In his shot, he writes, ah, because in their days, they would take the pulse by putting your hand on your heart, not your wrist. And therefore, that's much closer to Arias. The problem is, he's wrong. It says, Mefurish in Avicenna, that you take the pulse on the wrist. And it says, Mefurish, there are pictures in medical textbooks from 13th century Germany that they took the pulse on the wrist, like the picture of the guy with his hand on the patient's wrist. So it's not true. They took the pulse on the wrist, which doesn't seem that romantic. So what's that? So maybe you could say, the Baal HaShulchan quotes for a sefer called Beit She'arim, he says no. He says, pulse is more chomer because you're not doing anything. What do you mean you're not doing anything? Meaning, no, that's you're not tarud bimalachto. Everything else is mutter, even if she has no sakana, because everything else is mutter, even if she has no sakana, because you're busy doing things, so you don't have time to mahar her and start getting your yetzer up. But in the pulse, you just have to like count a minute and touch her, and just sit there and focus on her without doing anything, right? You're just like focusing on touching her without doing anything. Therefore, that's more chomer, because you're not distracted by accomplishing tasks. It's not like you have to move something or fix something or whatever. You're just sitting there like for a minute doing nothing but feeling her. Therefore, even on the wrist. Therefore, it's more chomer. It's only mutter makam sakana. Okay, that's a chiddush, meaning, you know, that's a big chiddush. He wants to say this. Halacha l'maaseh, the poskim say, I don't know how, if you really, I don't know how often the husband's a doctor when he takes his wife's pulse nowadays, meaning, you know, it's not so common in medicine. If you really would need to take her pulse, then at least use a thin surgical glove to be a little more machmir. In general, we say, you know, it's better to, you know, to use a glove to be a little more machmir in cases where you need, otherwise have skin-to-skin contact. Lamaisa, probably the pashtun shot is the Ramah just meant it's mutter even without sakana. So he meant, tesnayin is mutter without sakana, kolshkin is mutter with sakana. What is this space Yosef talking about? Pashtus, this is probably the pashtun shot in the Ramah, that it's mutter even without sakana. It's just kolshkin mutter with sakana. And why is he bringing that in? Because he needs to argue on what the Beis Yosef wrote in the Sefer Beis Yosef. Okay, there's a little more to analyze now, but we'll have to stop. And we'll spend a few minutes next time finishing up the simon, and then we will go on to plow into simon kuf tzadi vav. It will take us a couple of shiurim, as you can see. Okay, you'll get the board again, Ellie.